She said,
well, go on, Alice. What did she say?
She said we was friends.
Ah.
I told her no, I wasn't allowed to be her friend. But she just laughed and said that was old-fashioned talk, and one time soon everything would be different. Is that true, sir? It was all right for me to be her friend.
I think it was a very good thing.
Oh, I'm so pleased.
Mrs. Adams, I must ask you about the day your daughter died.
Of course you must. It's good of you to be concerned about my feelings, Mr. Holmes, but I'll not collapse in tears. I may not be myself at present, but I'm made of sterner stuff than that.
Miss Wallace used exactly the same phrase about your daughter.
She did?
Hmm. When Charlotte left the house, did she appear at all upset or distracted?
I've already told you, no, not at all.
No, she said nothing to you about something that was troubling her?
Nothing.
Now, if there had been something wrong, would she have mentioned it?
Not necessarily.
Not even to you?
Mr. Holmes, it's evident that you're not a family man. However close they might be, 16 years old is not an age at which a young woman confides in her mother.
Alice, tell me this. Do you know what made your friend Charlotte do what she did?
No, sir, I don't. Well, I wish so much that I did. I want to understand it more than anything. And I want to be able to tell Mrs. Adams, too. I hear her crying, you know.
Oh.
When she thinks no one's there. Breaks my heart, sir.
Well, perhaps between the two of us we can help find out.
I'd like that, sir.
Good girl. Did Miss Charlotte ever talk to you about the clinic? About the people there?
Oh, yes, sir. Well, she loved that place, she did. She told me once she found a little baby what nearly died, but they saved it.
Oh,
she was so happy.
Did she ever talk about a gentleman called Crosby? Dr. Jonathan Crosby?
Oh, yes, sir. All the time.
And what did she say?
Well, I think...
Well, go on, Alice. I want to know what you think.
Oh, sir. I think she really liked him.
Did you approve of Charlotte's ambition to become a doctor?
A doctor?
You didn't know.
A doctor? Mr. Holmes, last year it was an artist, and 6 months before that, it was a lawyer.
Well, thank you very much, Alice. I'll tell your mistress how helpful you've been.
Sir?
Yes, what is it?
Miss Charlotte did say something. Something I didn't understand.
What was it?
It was just a few days before... Well, you know.
Go on.
We was down here talking. Only she was angry about something.
Do you know what she was angry about?
No, sir. She didn't say, and I didn't like to ask. But she was really angry, I could tell.
And she said something which puzzled you?
Well, she was talking to herself. I don't think she even knew I was here. She said, wait till he gets it. Over and over. Wait till he gets it.
Wait till he gets it.
What on earth can it mean?
I don't know. But we're gathering threads. Sooner or later, we'll find the one thing that'll bring them all together.
So, what next?
I've done enough running around for one day. It's time for some dinner and some thought. And tomorrow morning...
Back to Hanbury Street?
Well, we talk to Dr. Jonathan Crosby. Try ringing again.
Yes. What was it Miss Wallace said?
That he was occupied with a personal family matter.
This could mean almost anything.
Even assuming that it's true.
We think she was lying.
Gentlemen?
We wish to speak to Dr. Jonathan Crosby. It's my card.
I'm sorry, Mr. Holmes, but I'm afraid that is not possible.
Well, when will it become possible?
Never, sir. At 10 o'clock yesterday evening... Dr. Crosby took his own life.
Well, what did they say?
Pistol to the temple. He was dead by the time they got him here.
Damn the man. Why couldn't he have waited?
Oh. There's something else.
What?
I asked if they knew why he'd done it. The surgeon was surprised.
That you were interested?
That I needed to inquire. Apparently the butler volunteered the information to the ambulance men. Dr. Crosby had been severely depressed following the death of his brother.
Another death, another Crosby. Yes. Did this informative surgeon know when he died, this brother?
Very recently, on the 8th.
2 days before Charlotte Adams. Ah, here it is.
What does it say?
Tragic death of prominent city banker. Mr. Matthew Gordon Crosby was found dead in his bed at his London home on Tuesday morning, having suffered a massive hemorrhage while he slept. Mr. Crosby will doubtless be remembered by our readers for his tireless efforts to bring education and enlightenment to the less well-favoured portions of the capital's population.
Another philanthropist.
Seems to run in the family.
But how can any of this possibly be connected with Charlotte Adams?
Jonathan Crosby's brother dies. 2 days later, the doctor's back at the clinic.
Work as an antidote to sorrow?
Yeah, rather a rapidly taken antidote, wouldn't you say?
Well, everyone reacts to these things differently.
Well, whatever his motive, he's back in his surgery, and assisting him is Charlotte Adams. 16, idealistic, ambitious.
And very fond of him?
Well, what would that mean? She'd be upset on his behalf.
Assuming she knew about his loss.
That's a good point.
Perhaps it was then that he told her.
And she was so distraught that she ran from the room and killed herself.
I wasn't suggesting that.
Yes, even for a 16-year-old female, that's taking an emotional reaction rather too far. But something happened.
I suppose we should consider the possibility...
Yes?
Well, you have a man in emotional turmoil and a sympathetic and attractive young woman.
And he might have turned to her for some consolation.
And she might have misinterpreted his meaning. This is not a pleasant thought, but... It is possible.
I refuse to countenance the idea. Jonathan Crosby saw the Adams girl as an intelligent child, no more than that. Besides which, they were treating a patient when she suddenly ran from the room. The whole notion is preposterous.
Did Dr. Crosby strike you as being particularly upset that day?
His only brother had just died, Mr. Holmes.
And yet he was here, as usual.
The work doesn't go away just because we have problems of our own. Gentlemen, I am extremely busy. Is there anything else?
Was Dr. Crosby close to his brother?
Certainly.
Did Matthew Crosby ever come here?
On occasion, I believe.
Because of his own interest in aiding the disadvantaged.
No doubt. Now, if you'll excuse me.
Why didn't you mention Dr. Crosby's suicide?
I wanted to see if she'd mention it first.
Would she know already?
There's been ample time for a message to arrive.
But if she's heard, why didn't she tell us? She couldn't know we've already discovered it for ourselves. And she must realise it might be relevant.
Well, I rather think Miss Wallace has her own ideas about what is and isn't relevant.
What? What the devil?
Still, you fool, you'll only make it worse.
Get your hands off of me!
Kelly, I'm all right. Help him.
Do keep away from me.
Calm down. That's a nasty-looking knife. You must be in agony.
Keep away.
I tried to take it out. Our friend here objected.
That's because it's a Romani shiv. The blade's been barbed at the tip.
Stay where you are.
Don't be a fool. I can help you.
Holmes, whatever you say.
Now. Keep his arm still.
I've got it. Let go of me!
No! Oh, yes. No, I'm all right. Somebody give me a scalpel. Right. This is going to hurt a little. And so is this. There. That's got it.
You can stop struggling now. It's over.
You cut me, you bastard.
And that's quite enough of that. I had to clear the flesh away from the blade. It was either that or push the whole knife through to the other side of your arm. Perhaps you'd have preferred that.
Oof. Did he hurt you?
I've had worse. It's a nice atmosphere for a 16-year-old girl. Damned ruffian.
He was a perfectly respectable market porter till he took to drink.
I'm glad you took the time to notice that while he was beating the living daylights out of me.
Now, really, Doctor, don't exaggerate. It was interesting to see inside that surgery.
You saw what I meant about the state of things.
Yes, of course, but that wasn't exactly my principal concern. Everything hinges on what happened in that room.
When Crosby and Charlotte were alone together.
Not alone.
Huh? Oh, no, that's right.
They had a patient with them.
If we could find out who it was.
Oh, I don't think there's much chance of that. They don't keep any records. And the patients are in and out of there like flies. I doubt if any of the volunteers would remember.
It wasn't the volunteers I was thinking of asking.
Get our soup now, do we?
That's right, love, over here. You stick with me.
Why didn't you just talk to the patients while we were there? It would have helped.
Well, we'd have learnt nothing. We were well-dressed, well-fed and strangers. The enemy.
I suppose you're right.
Ooh, that's better.
So, did you learn anything?
I had to work my way through several lunch companions, but eventually I found a regular customer. And as luck would have it, she'd been waiting just outside the surgery when the late Miss Adams rushed past her, looking like she'd seen a ghost, apparently.
Did this woman see what happened?
No, but she was able to tell me who was actually in with them at the time.
You have the name?
I have rather more than that.
All right, three cards and no more cards. Two of them is aces and one's the lady. You know what you've got to do. Here she is and there she was and round they go. Put your penny on the lady, I'll give you back six. Can't say fairer than that now, can I?
No, it never is.
A sovereign on this one.
Where the hell do you come by that sort of money?
What's that to you? Are we playing or not?
Yeah,
I'll tell you what. If you win, you keep the sovereign. If I win...
I ain't got no
if
six
I win,
subs.
You let me buy you a drink, eh? Let's take a look, shall we?
Yeah. Hey!
Well, it must be my lucky day.
Oh, good health to you, whoever the hell you are.
Yeah, good health.
Oh, that's good, that is.
I'm pleased to hear it.
All right. That's enough games. What do you want?
He went to the clinic because his hand had swollen up. He kept dropping his cards, which didn't do his business much good.
And he was there when Charlotte Adams suddenly ran out.
Oh, yes, he remembers it vividly.
Well, what happened?
Crosby was draining the blood from his hand with a couple of leeches and explaining about them to the girl. It's common gossip at the clinic that he was teaching her basic medicine, something else Miss Wallace omitted to mention.
Well, there's no reason why that should have upset her. If she assisted at amputations, a bloodletting's nothing.
The conversation moved on to Crosby's brother.
Ah, well, that sounds rather more interesting.
You were right. She hadn't heard the sad news.
And Crosby told her. Was that what did it?
He told her. She was shaken, yes, but no more than that.
Well, then.
And then she asked what he died of.
It was natural enough. And?
And Jonathan Crosby told her, and it was that one piece of information which sent Charlotte Adams running straight to her death.
You don't object to a spot of mild deception?
Not at all. I've been thinking about this anyway. And if it'll help the case?
I think it will. You're a natural confidant, Watson, especially where the fair sex is concerned.
What will you be up to?
A little light reading. Good luck.
There. Dissolve this in water and drink it straight down. It should help.
Oh, thanks, Doc.
Who's next? Mrs. Quilly?
Doctor?
Wheel in the next patient, would you?
Oh, there's no one waiting, Doctor.
Good grief. You mean I get a chance to sit down?
I expect you could do with a nice cup of tea.
Ah, oh, Mrs. Quilly, you're a lifesaver.
There you are, sir.
Excellent.
Just let me know when you're ready for the next volume.
Yes, thank you.
Oh, that's very good. Thank you.
Enjoy it while you can, Doctor. They'll be pouring in again before you know it.
Yes, so Dr. Kelly said.
This is so good of you. The poor man needs a rest, God knows.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Good to be back in harness again. How long have you been a volunteer here, Mrs. Quilly?
Nearly 12 years.
Oh, I imagine you've seen some changes.
I certainly have. I remember when we didn't have to scrimp and save quite so much for one thing.
What happened, do you know?
I don't really understand these things. My husband says it's down to the stock market.
Ah.
Your founder might have been a saint, but he had no idea about making money. That's what my husband says. And I suppose that young Dr. Crosby was the same, God rest his soul. But the old place keeps on going somehow.
Thank heaven for it.
Amen to that. Dr. Watson.
Yes?
Why on earth would Dr. Crosby do such a thing? I simply can't understand it.
I don't know, Mrs. Quilley. Depression can do strange things.
Depression?
I had a brother who died. We weren't really on good terms, but I still felt... it must have been terrible for Dr. Crosby.
What do you mean?
Being so close to his brother like that.
Oh, Doctor, I don't know who you've been talking to, but Jonathan Crosby and his brother weren't what you might call close. They hated the sight of each other.
Not only were they daggers drawn, everyone at the clinic knew it. There'd been a stand-up row in full view of volunteers, patients, everyone.
So much for Miss Wallace's firm statement to the contrary.
You said from the first she was lying to us.
What was the row about?
I'm afraid the details are a little hazy, though money seems to have been at the heart of it.
Yes, that makes sense.
But Mrs. Quilley was quite certain of one thing. Jonathan accused his brother of, and I quote exactly, of wanting to bleed this place dry.
Ah, vital link in the chain.
But what does it mean?
Tell me, didn't Charlotte Adams observe this fight?
Yes. I'm afraid she saw the whole thing.
This case keeps throwing up little snippets of vital information that no one seems to have bothered to tell us.
Such as?
Such as that both Crosby brothers lived in this house, not just Dr. Jonathan.
How did you find that out?
I spent the day in the newspaper library reading up on Matthew Crosby and his charitable pursuits, and then I had a quiet word with a grateful ex-client in Chancery Lane. The late Mr. Crosby's legal activities have been quite the talk of the Inns of Court. Ah, good afternoon, Treves.
Mr. Holmes, Doctor, may I ask why you're here?
Because it's essential that I see inside this house.
I'm sorry, Mr. Holmes, I have no authority to admit you.
I say again, it's essential.
For what reason?
I'm acting on behalf of Mrs. Margaret Adams. Her daughter was a volunteer at the Crosby Clinic.
I believe I've heard Dr. Crosby mention the young lady, sir.
Well, then you'll be sorry to hear that she's dead.
I'm very sorry indeed,
and that
sir.
Both of your late employers might well be implicated. Now, may we come in?
Who discovered Matthew Crosby's body?
I did, sir. When I brought his morning tea to his bedroom. In here, gentlemen.
He died in his sleep?
Yes, sir.
What condition was he in when you found him?
He was lying quite normally. I'd have thought he was asleep if it hadn't been for the blood.
What was the source of the bleeding?
His nose and ears, sir.
Cranial hemorrhage.
I believe that's what the doctor said, yes, sir.
I want to see all the posts from the last 7 days.
I think this is everything, Mr. Holmes.
Has anything been thrown out?
No, sir, with the house in such disarray.
It's excellent, excellent. There won't be a letter, a parcel.
What are you looking for?
Ah, this. Addressed to Matthew. It's unwrapped, but most of the label still attached. No postmark. Treves, do you recall when this arrived?
I'm afraid not, Mr. Holmes.
Yeah, but it was Matthew Crosby who opened it.
No one else would have done so, sir.
Oh, very good, very good. Wait till he gets it. Watson, take a look. If I'm right, this package contains the clue to 3 deaths.
What on earth is in it?
Well, I have my suspicions. Let's find out if they're correct.
Good Lord.
And so the case is complete.
Please, take a seat, Mrs. Adams.
Thank you, Doctor.
Yes, it's good of you to come here. I know it can't have been easy for you.
Mr. Holmes, I hope this isn't going to take long.
Miss Wallace, from the very beginning of this investigation, you have done everything in your power to stand in my way.
How dare you, sir?
And now you will have the courtesy to grant me your time.
Very well. But if you have something to say, sir, then say it.
Thank you. The most important element in this case, and one of the key facts which you have striven to conceal from me, is that until very recently, The whole future of this clinic was in doubt.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Kindly do not insult my intelligence. This is what I'm talking about. The festering infection of the East End slums will never be eradicated while well-intentioned but dangerously misguided do-gooders insist on soothing the ills of drunken sots and filling the stomachs of common whores so they can go back onto the streets and continue to spread their corruption.
What a terrible sentiment.
All the more terrible considering its source.
What do you mean, Doctor?
That was an extract from a speech given by Mr. Matthew Crosby. Clearly, his charitable instincts had some very well-defined boundaries. He was attacking his own father's work.
Many misguided people have done so, Mr. Holmes.
But no others have taken quite such extreme steps. He was planning to seize control of this clinic, sell the building and reinvest the fund, and then use the proceeds for his own purpose.
A grand educational institute for the population of the district. Except, of course, those the enlightened Mr. Crosby deemed unacceptable. Do you seriously suppose that any of my people would be allowed to put a toe over the threshold?
Yes, you knew all about his scheme. So did Dr. Jonathan Crosby. And so, tragically, did Charlotte Adams.
She heard the brothers arguing. She realised what Matthew Crosby was planning to do. And she decided to show him that it wasn't only his brother who objected to his attitude.
She sent him this. Mrs. Adams, I believe you'll recognise your daughter's hand on what's left of the label.
Yes. Yes, that's her writing. What is in the box?
She wanted to make her point as forcibly as she could.
And she had the materials to hand, amongst the antiquated supplies in the surgery where she worked.
She heard Jonathan accuse Matthew of wanting to bleed this place dry. And so she sent him these. Take a close look, Miss Wallace. And now you, Mrs. Adams.
Oh, dear God. Are they dead?
They are.
But your reaction's understandable. Dead or alive, a box full of leeches isn't a pleasant sight. Unless, of course, you're expecting to see it. Isn't that so, Miss Wallace?
I can't believe it. Charlotte did that.
Your daughter's work here wasn't a whim or a passing fad. She believed in this place with all her heart and soul.
And Matthew Crosby was threatening its very survival. Sending that package was an empty, childish gesture, but it did have the virtue of making her point with admirable directness.
Very well, very well. My daughter made a silly, futile protest. At least she took a stand. I'm proud of her for that. But, Mr. Holmes, what has this to do with her suicide?
Events took a turn which changed everything. Matthew Crosby died. Charlotte learned the news from his brother, and not unnaturally, she was considerably shaken. She asked exactly what had happened.
And was given the devastating news that he'd suffered from haemophilia.
I'm sorry, I don't understand.
I'm afraid it's all too simple. Your daughter thought she was a murderess.
In her mind, she saw Crosby reach into the box, the leeches fasten onto his skin, the blood-sucking begin.
She'd seen it often enough in the surgery here, and more. She'd seen some patients pass out as the leeches did their work. She pictured Crosby unconscious on the floor as the bloated leeches removed themselves and the bite wounds continued to bleed. Unstoppable and fatal.
There are few adults who could live with that image haunting them. And for all her intelligence and maturity, your daughter was still only a 16-year-old girl.
Forgive me. I didn't know. She didn't know about his haemophilia. She didn't know that her gesture of defiance was deadly to him.
She had dedicated her life to helping other people and healing the sick. And now she was convinced that she'd killed a man. And she couldn't live with that guilt.
And you?
What about me, Mr. Holmes?
You knew this. You knew the whole story. Do you deny it?
I found this in with Charlotte's things. It's a diary. It's all in here.
You've had that the whole time.
And told no one?
What were you thinking? Were you trying to protect me?
No, Mrs. Adams, not you.
I hoped you'd find nothing. The girl's death would be put down to hysteria and the whole thing just blow over.
How could you do it? How?
Why do you need to ask? I did it for the clinic. Your daughter wasn't the only one who loved this place.
Mr. Holmes.
Mrs. Adams.
You said that Charlotte thought she was a murderess.
Yes, I did.
Then she was mistaken.
She was.
You're sure of that? Completely sure?
He died in his sleep. The package had been opened long before.
Charlotte was not in any way responsible for Matthew Crosby's fate.
Thank you, sir. Miss Wallace.
Mrs. Adams.
The diary, if you please. Thank you. I believe it's time I got to know my daughter.
Oh, what a terrible affair. Well, at least the clinic is safe.
Might be rather more than that.
Oh?
A fresh look at those investments could well improve things.
Good. That would be good. You know, I've been thinking about Jonathan Crosby.
Indeed.
I still don't understand why he put a pistol to his head.
Well, I suspect it was guilt.
Because of what he told Charlotte Adams? Oh, surely not. Even if he knew about her sending the leeches.
Miss Wallace confessed to telling him. He knew.
It's all right, but to kill himself over an innocent, casual comment?
Well, it was rather more than that. If his brother hadn't died, Charlotte Adams would still be alive.
But he couldn't have done anything to prevent Matthew's death.
Well, certainly he could. He could have refrained from killing him.
Jonathan Crosby murdered Matthew?
His father's work was being threatened. His work too. And a fatal hemorrhage is remarkably easy to induce if you happen to be a doctor.
And he just stood there and watched while his own brother bled to death.
Well, we don't know that he watched.
Well, that's hardly the point. Good Lord. Will you tell the police?
Tell them what?
That Jonathan Crosby was a murderer.
Was he?
Well, you just said so.
Well, Watson, all I did was outline a theory, nothing more.
A theory? There's no proof?
Well, none that I'm aware of. You?
Of course not.
Matthew Crosby died of natural causes, and his brother couldn't live with the loss. Charlotte Adams killed herself over a tragic misunderstanding, and the clinic will continue its work untainted by scandal. It's a good enough ending, as endings go. Why change it?
I've sent the package. I have no illusions that it will make any difference. But at least I've done something. The clinic must not close. Too many lives depend on it. Too much love and dedication has been poured into it. I suppose it was a silly, nasty thing to do. But sometimes in life, one must do terrible things for what one believes in. The clinic has been so good to me. It's wonderful to be part of something so worthwhile and so needed. I found my purpose here. My future. I've never felt so alive.
In The Tragedy of Hanbury Street, Sherlock Holmes was played by Clive Medicine and Dr. John Watson by Andrew Sachs. Mrs. Adams was played by Lindsay Duncan, and Miss Wallace by Colette O'Neill. Charlotte Adams was played by Lydia Leonard, Matthew Crosby by John Rowe, Jonathan Crosby by Chris Moran, Treves by Philip Fox, and Mrs. Quilly by Frances Jeter. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The violinist was Leonard Friedman. The Tragedy of Hanbury Street was written by Bert Cools from a reference in the short story The Golden Pince-Nez by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. The director was Patrick Rayner.
Miss Addleton.
Sergeant.
You should go upstairs now. We're going to bring them out.
Oh, yes, thank you.
If you please, miss.
Sergeant, you will remember what I said, won't you?
Yes, of course, miss.
It's important. Why won't you listen to me?
If you'll just let us get on with our jobs, miss.
All right, I'm going. But, Sergeant...
Liz?
I know what I'm talking about. Something's wrong here. And if you won't take me seriously, I'll find someone who will.
The Determined Client by Bert Cools. With Clive Medicine as Sherlock Holmes and Andrew Sachs as Dr. John Watson. And featuring Fritha Goody as Caroline Addleton. The Determined Client.
There you are, Miss Addleton.
Thank you. It's a cold day.
Indeed. I thought it was rather clement.
You're probably right, Mr. Holmes. It's me. I haven't felt properly warm, not since it happened. Could that be some sort of delayed shock, Doctor?
Bereavement can give rise to shock, yes.
Mr. Holmes has told you what's happened.
Well, only the basic facts. I should prefer you to tell the story in your own words.
Oh, but it's all in my letter.
It would be of enormous value.
Oh, yes. Yes, of course, I understand. You must forgive me, gentlemen. I can't seem to think clearly just at the moment.
Just take your time, Miss Addleton. There's no hurry.
Quite so. Drink your coffee, gather your thoughts, and wait until you're completely recovered from the rigours of your journey up from Sussex. I trust the delay to your train didn't cause you undue concern.
Oh, why, no, it was no more than 15 minutes and the... But how in the world could you know about that?
The trains from Upper Chiddingly are scheduled to arrive at 1:30 the hour. There are always cabs at the station at this time of day, so you should have arrived here in good time and feeling rested from your journey, instead of which you were 2.5 minutes late and, forgive me, somewhat flustered and out of breath.
How do you know it wasn't the cab from the station that had the problem?
Leaving a defective cab and finding a fresh one would hardly occupy 1/4 hour. The deduction is a simple one.
To you, maybe. To me, it seems rather more like magic. I can see that I was right to come to you, Mr. Holmes.
Let's hope that I can justify your faith.
Oh, I'm sure you shall. Very well. I suppose I have to begin some 40-odd years ago.
And so to the final and main provision... The control of the family business, together with all holdings, property and investments pertaining thereto, these I bequeath in their entirety to my younger son, William Arthur Addleton.
What?
Mr. Addleton, please.
Yes, show a little decorum, brother.
Decorum? It's an outrage. He must have lost his mind.
Not according to his doctors. Your late father was, yes, here we are. Perfectly lucid to the end.
I'll fight this.
I rather doubt that you'll meet with any success.
Come on, Tom. Don't be a bad loser.
We were going to be treated equally. He always said so.
Equality has to be earned. Who took over the reins when he couldn't cope anymore? Who looked after him? Who was there?
I was abroad, for God's sake!
Because you couldn't wait to get away from the old man. Well, now you've got your reward.
Favouring the younger son, that rarely leads to harmony.
I'm afraid it certainly didn't in this case. William Addleton, my father, came into money, power and responsibility. My Uncle Thomas got nothing at all.
What on earth had he done to deserve that sort of treatment?
I don't know.
Did you never ask your father?
I tried once. He made it very clear that the matter was never to be raised again.
It angered him to think of it?
I don't think it was anger. I think it made him sad. Terribly sad. But of course I honoured his wishes and never mentioned it again.
So the rift between the two brothers was never healed?
Never. My uncle moved away and the family was broken forever.
They had no contact at all with each other?
Not for a long time. Then there was a particular incident. My Uncle Tom came to see my father.
For heaven's sake, William!
I've told you I'd help you if I could.
And just what precisely is stopping you?
It's not a good time. The business, it's not doing well.
Oh, you expect me to believe that? I don't see too many signs of deprivation.
You know nothing whatsoever about it.
William, my son is ill. Seriously ill. I need money.
I'm sorry. You'll have to find it somewhere else.
Very well. But I'm warning you, brother, if the boy dies, his blood will be on your hands.
Was your father telling the truth about the business?
I've no reason to believe otherwise, Mr. Holmes.
Quite so. Pray, continue.
The boy, my cousin Frederick, didn't die.
I'm pleased to hear it.
But from that day on, the separation was complete. My father and my uncle never again had anything to do with each other.
What of yourself and your cousin?
Frederick and I hadn't met at all. The first time I ever saw him was just over a year ago.
In the sure and certain hope of the resurrection to eternal life still to come. Amen.
It's over. Come along, Karen.
Yes, Father.
Excuse me.
Yes?
I'm Frederick Addleton. Your nephew, sir.
Indeed.
And your cousin, Miss Caroline. I'm pleased to make your acquaintance.
Cousin Frederick, my condolences on your loss.
Thank you.
I'd like to speak to your mother too, may I?
My mother died when I was a baby.
Oh, I didn't know. I'm so sorry.
Sir, Uncle, I'd like to thank you for coming.
I need no thanks for attending my own brother's funeral.
And I want to invite you back to my house. There's not much, just some food and a bit to drink. But I thought we could see the old man off properly. Please, say you'll come.
It sounds as though he was trying to repair the family rift.
Yes, that's what I thought. And I don't mind telling you, gentlemen, I welcomed it.
And your father?
He wasn't an effusive man, Mr. Holmes. But yes, I thought I saw signs that things might improve at long last. Unfortunately, I was mistaken.
How dare you, sir?
I? The offence was yours, sir.
Oh, no.
Now, will you please calm down and display a little decorum?
Calm down. You insult me. You insult my father.
I knew nothing of the sort. For heaven's sake, remember the occasion.
I'll remember it, all right. This conversation is at an end.
Just as you wish.
Damn the man for a... Sorry.
What on earth did you say to him?
Nothing he didn't deserve to hear.
Had your father been ill for long?
He hadn't been ill at all. The old man drank himself to death.
Oh.
Couldn't cope with life and looked for the easiest way out.
I'm so sorry.
You're not the one who should apologise.
After that, Cousin Frederick didn't contact us again. I saw nothing of him for at least a 12-month. And then, 3 days ago, quite out of the blue, he called at the house.
Who are you?
I'm Mrs. Sinden, sir.
Well, Sinden, my name is Frederick Addleton. I'm the son of the man who was cheated out of owning this house and being your master.
I see, sir.
I've come to see my uncle and I won't be told no.
I'm afraid he's not here, sir.
When do you expect him back?
Well, I'm afraid I couldn't say, sir.
I'll wait.
You witnessed this yourself?
No, I was out walking. Mrs. Sinden told me about it afterwards.
Very good. Please continue. You're being admirably clear and precise.
Oh, I know how important that is for you.
Model client, Watson.
Yes, indeed.
You're very kind. Well, Mrs. Sinden showed Cousin Frederick into the library to wait for Father. But after nearly 2 hours, he said he wouldn't wait any longer.
Were you back at the house by then? Did you observe his departure?
I did, yes.
I'll be back tonight, 9 o'clock.
Yes, sir. May I tell Mr. Addleton why you want to see him?
No. I think I'd rather it came as a surprise.
You're sure of his words?
Completely.
Thank you. Continue.
Frederick did come back later, just as he said he would, and my father agreed to see him. They went into Father's study.
Where were you at this time?
I was upstairs in my room, reading.
What?
Father? Father? Oh, Miss Caroline?
Oh, what's happened?
Miss Caroline! Frederick was lying against the hearth. My father was just behind the door. There was a gun in his hand. His head... There was blood. So much blood. Both of them were covered in blood.
Your father had killed your cousin and then himself.
But that's what I thought at first.
An entirely natural supposition.
But I was wrong.
Then what had happened?
I was wrong on two counts. Firstly, Frederick wasn't dead. The bullet had hit him in the shoulder, the left shoulder. The doctor said that the force had thrown him backwards and he'd hit his head against the edge of the hearth.
And knocked himself unconscious?
It's rather more serious than that.
A fracture to the base of the skull.
Damage to the spinal column?
Possibly to the brain itself.
He's still unconscious. He can't talk or move, but he's still alive.
And your father?
Killed instantly.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm very sorry.
Thank you.
Miss Addleton, you said you were wrong on two counts. What was the second?
After the first shock of that awful sight, I realised the truth. Dr. Watson, my father would never have shot a man. Never.
Well, it's very natural that you should think so, Miss Addleton. But the evidence...
My father was not capable of such a terrible act, and I'll not have his memory blackened by such a lie.
But, forgive me, but what other explanation is possible?
I don't know, but there must be one. There must be.
Tell me about the gun. Whose was it?
It was my father's. I know. Yeah, but you have to believe me.
Well, I'd like to, of course. But you have to admit that all the evidence points to your father being guilty.
No, sir, not all the evidence.
You have proof of his innocence?
I have something that doesn't fit, something that isn't right.
Holmes, you know about this?
Miss Addleton put it in her letter, yes. It was the reason I agreed to see her.
Dr. Watson, 10 years ago, my father was injured. He was visiting a factory and there was an accident with one of the machines. His hand was terribly damaged. The doctors worked miracles. You'd never have known to look at him. But he completely lost the use of his fingers and his thumb.
Oh, it sounds as if the tendons were severed.
Yes, that's right. That's what they said. He couldn't pick up or grip anything ever again. You can ask anyone in the household. They'll swear it's true.
Oh, Miss Addleton, I've no reason to doubt your word.
Oh, but it's important. It's so important. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm not putting this at all well.
The point, Watson, is that this crippling injury was to William Addleton's right hand.
He trained himself to use his left hand instead. He had no choice.
But what does that have to do with the shooting?
Dr. Watson, when I found my father, he was clutching the gun in his right hand.
Thank you. Thank you for believing in me, Mr. Holmes.
We'll join you at the house as soon as we can, probably later this afternoon.
I'll make sure the study stays locked until you come. Though I'm afraid all sorts of people have rather trampled over everything. The doctor, the servants, the police.
Did you tell the police about the gun?
Oh, of course, but they didn't seem to understand what I meant.
Well, they had a straightforward crime with a straightforward solution. I'm afraid that asking them actually to think about things was rather too ambitious. Have a safe journey, Miss Addleton.
I shall. Oh, my heart is so much lighter. Thank you both. All right, driver. Waterloo Station.
Yeah, Waterloo. Yes, miss. Yep, yep.
What an exceptional young woman. Observant, too. What do you think really happened in that room?
Let's get back inside.
Well, you obviously think that something's wrong or you wouldn't have taken the case.
Something is wrong.
If he did somehow manage to use his damaged hand, it could explain why he missed.
Missed?
He hit the man's shoulder rather than his heart.
His left shoulder.
Was that significant?
It will be. Why do you assume he was aiming for the heart?
Yes. I suppose that's true. We don't actually know that he was trying to kill him, do we?
No, we know remarkably little, in some areas at least, and yet in others. I'm going out.
Ah. Can I help?
Yes, you can.
Good. Would you like to tell me how?
By meeting me at Waterloo in time for the 2:45 to Upper Chiddingly.
Oh, very good.
And Watson, bring your revolver. There, you see. Ample time.
I'd hate to be with you when you cut it fine.
Have you thought any more about the case?
Well, of course. But I'm no nearer making sense of it.
We lack data. Well, you were quite right in describing our client as observant. There are too many details still to be filled in.
Principally, just what Frederick Addleton said to his uncle.
Well, not only what, why then? If he wanted to confront the man, why wait a year to do it?
Perhaps he'd discovered something new about his father. We need to know what he'd been up to during those 12 months.
That's what I've been trying to find out.
Did you have any success?
A little. Just over 10 months ago, a Frederick Addleton was arrested in London.
Was he, by Jove? On what charge?
Drunken brawling.
Oh, dear. Like father, like son, do you suppose?
Yeah, that was the only time he actually fell foul of the law, but it was exceedingly useful.
Useful? In what way?
Well, because it furnished me with his address, of course. He was sharing a room in Soho with one Elliot Matthews, market worker.
Does he still live there? Did you speak to this Matthews?
I didn't have time.
Oh, no, I suppose not. So, did the younger man want a share of the business? Or at the very least, some financial help? Presumably there was an argument. The older man produces his gun, the wrong hand. Why was it in the wrong hand?
Well, we'll know more once we've examined the scene of the crime. Until then, my advice is to sit back, relax, and enjoy the journey.
This is the door to Father's study.
Before we go in, there are just a few things I'd like to have clarified. Firstly, what will happen now to the family business?
I don't know. I have no brothers to take over.
Perhaps your father had a trusted colleague, a protégé?
Very possibly. He never talked to me about such things. I suppose it's all in his will.
Yes, no doubt. And now, next, you mentioned that a good many people had been in the room since the shooting.
Yes, the police, the undertakers, of course.
Yes, plus your servants and yourself.
I've not really been inside after that first time. I couldn't.
No, naturally not.
But I've tried my best to leave things as they were, even the blood. It's not been easy, Mr. Holmes, knowing what was on the other side of that door.
It must have been enormously difficult for you.
And I appreciate your diligence.
Thank you. Very well, then.
Just one more thing, if I may.
Of course.
Now, you said that the gun belonged to your father.
Yes.
Do you know where he kept it?
I assumed it was with the rest of the collection.
He collected firearms?
In a small way. He'd only recently taken up the hobby.
Where did he house this collection?
In a cabinet in the library.
The library?
Is it important?
In a case like this, everything is important. You may open the study door now.
Do you need me to be in the room with you?
No, no. Please wait somewhere else. If I have any questions, I'll come and find you.
Thank you.
That was good of you.
I simply didn't want her disturbing the evidence. Tread carefully, Doctor.
As if there was a fight.
Yeah, not a fight, exactly, I fancy.
Upturned furniture and stuff all over the floor, and there wasn't a fight.
First things first. The older man lay there, and the younger was by the fire. Oh, that's very singular.
What is?
Yes, just a detail, but a very interesting one. Just stay by the door, please, while I examine the room.
Is there anything clear enough to read?
Yes, a surprising amount, thanks to our client's care and a well-polished parquet floor. Yes, the two men faced each other across the desk. The younger man was agitated. He moved around a good deal. And the older...
What?
It's harder to see.
Ah, yes. At one point, both men were standing at the side of the desk. Now, Watson, come and be William Addleton.
Oh, very well. Mm. Where exactly?
Well, just here. No, a little further left. Mm-hmm. Just left. That's good, good, good. Now, this is where he was when the fatal shot was fired.
Oh, from the bloodstains on the wall.
Quite. And from the corresponding stains on the floor, we can see precisely where and how he collapsed.
Do you need me to reenact the fall?
Not unless you particularly want to.
Well, I think I'll stay on my feet, thanks.
Wise decision. Right. Now, I'm the nephew, Frederick. Now, where was I standing?
Well, surely over by the fireplace where it was found. The shot would push you, him, backwards, but not all that far.
Exactly. Exactly.
What? What have you seen?
Precisely what I expected to see. If I take up my position here...
Well, I certainly have a clear shot at you, whichever hand I use.
Yes, indeed.
Holmes?
Someone's been clever. Very clever. But not clever enough.
Well, Mr. Holmes, have you discovered anything?
It's rather too early to say.
Oh, of course, I'm sorry.
I want you to leave the study exactly as it is for a while longer. You can do that, I trust.
Well, yes, I suppose so, yes.
Capital. And now I'd like to speak to your housekeeper.
That's right, Mr. Holmes. I showed the young man into the library that afternoon. Mr. Addleton usually had visitors wait there for him.
Did you close the door or leave it open?
I left it open.
And did you return to the library at any time while Frederick Addleton was there?
Once, sir, to offer him some refreshment.
How would you describe his mood?
Tense, sir. I found him on his feet rather than sitting. I had the impression he'd been pacing up and down.
Indeed?
Oh, yes, sir.
And what of his face? Expression?
Well, sir...
Apprehensive? Uncertain? Frightened?
Oh, no, sir. I couldn't say so. It was more... Well...
Yes?
Well... Triumphant.
Was it indeed? Tell me, Mrs. Sindon, where is the library?
Quite a decent collection.
I'm rather more interested in the display case, or more specifically, the lock. The light's not very good in here.
What have you found?
Take my lens. You see?
Ah, it scratched to high heaven.
Yes, not the neatest of jobs, but it did the trick. The lock's been forced.
And you can see where the gun used to be. There's still an imprint on the velvet.
Yes, so there is.
Oh, Mrs. Sindon said you were in here.
You've had no objection, I hope.
Oh, Mr. Holmes, please feel free to go wherever you have to and to ask whatever you must to. Is there something important about the gun cabinet?
Exceedingly so. Now, if you'll excuse us, Watson and I will return later.
You're leaving? So soon?
For a couple of hours at the most. Your groom can drive us to the town.
No, sir. He was a right good master. Never a cross word.
Miss Addleton?
What about her, sir?
Does she treat you kindly?
She's a very gracious lady, sir.
Is she, content here, would you say?
Hardly my place to comment, sir.
No, I just thought it might be rather a quiet life.
She's always struck me as happy enough, sir. Oh, till recent, of course.
With the tragedy, you mean?
That's right, sir. That's what I meant.
Now, Watson, you're quite clear on what you have to do.
Completely.
Good man.
I suppose I don't get anywhere.
Well, then we'll be no further advanced, but I have every confidence in you. What's the matter?
Well, I was just remembering a previous occasion of this sort. My efforts were greeted with the charming comment that I'd made a complete mess of everything.
Really?
Really. Miss Violet Smith, hmm? Bob Carruthers?
Oh, my dear fellow, that was years ago. You've been coming on quite nicely since then. Now, off you go, you'll miss your train.
Oh, Sergeant McGann, sir!
For pity's sake, Stevens. Dignity there, dignity.
Yes, sir. Dignity, sir. But it's...
Well, spit it out, boy. You've got the Chief Constable out front, have you? Bloody hell far you haven't, have you?
Not the Chief Constable, no, sir.
Good afternoon, Sergeant. I wonder if I might have a moment of your time.
Oh, my Sunday helmet. Are you?
Yes, I am. How do you do?
Matthews. Elliot Matthews.
What about him?
I need to speak to him.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, I'm a solicitor.
What makes you think he might be here, then?
Well, I've just spoken to his landlady. Are you going to help me or not?
That depends. What's your business with him?
He's come into some money.
Oh. Oh, well, that's different. Sorry, sir. You can't be too careful, can you? I'm Elliot Matthews. At your service, sir.
No, I don't think so.
I tell you, I'm Matthews.
Your name is George. I heard someone call out to you as I walked up. And you're a moderately well-off married man with at least one child. Elliot Matthews is younger, single, and too poor to afford a room of his own. But you know where he is. Your eyes gave you away. Well,
I'll get him.
Oh, yes, the young lady pointed it out to me. Made quite a song and dance about it. But between you and me, I put it down to hysteria. Seen it before. And I dare say you have too.
Sir, you attach no importance to it.
I knew a farmer once. Had a lamb trapped under a fallen tree. Massive great oak.
Yes?
He picked up that tree and tossed it aside like it was a matchstick. God's honour. When it comes down to it, if a man's got sufficient cause, he can be capable of damn near anything.
There you are.
Thanks. Cheers.
Ah, cheers.
That's good.
Look, I'm sorry about the money business.
Don't be. I knew it wasn't true. Who's going to leave me money? Clever, though. That was the way to get old George Liston right enough. He's probably expecting a cut, grasping old sod.
There'll be a sovereign in it for you, though.
I'm all yours, sir. What do you want?
Tell me about Frederick Addleton.
Sergeant, you've been extremely helpful.
Oh, my pleasure, sir.
Just one final question. Presumably you still have William Addleton's gun.
Of course. It's under lock and key in the evidence room waiting on the coroner.
Excellent. I'd like to see it.
Well, I suppose we had a laugh sometimes. Few and far between there was, though.
And the rest of the time?
He was miserable as sin. Mind you, he was cheerful enough last time I saw him.
When was that?
Just a few days ago. He was like he was finally onto a winner after a string of lame old nags. Sir, do you know when he's coming back? The rent's due Friday.
I'm afraid he won't be coming back.
Not ever?
I'm afraid not.
Bit of a blow, that. Nice diggings they are.
Well, I dare say that sovereign will see you through for a while.
It will, sir. You're a gentleman.
Do you know why he was so cheerful all of a sudden?
I've got a fair idea. Yes, sir.
Oh, he told you?
He didn't mean to. It was his big secret. But he was a touch too fond of places like this, was old Freddy. And sometimes it got the better of him, if you know what I mean.
I believe I do, yes. Right, Matthews. Tell me everything you know about Frederick Addleton's big secret, and that sovereign might just be joined by its twin.
Once again, thank you for your assistance.
My pleasure, Mr. Holmes. There's nothing dodgy about the case, is there? We went by the book all along the line.
I've simply been commissioned to look into a couple of trifling details. Nothing you should be concerned about.
That's good.
Tell me, how are you faring with your burglaries?
How did you know about them?
It's a careless habit to leave witness statements lying about your desk, even if they are upside down. 4 break-ins so far, is it?
And nasty, too. At least one old gentleman laid about their head with a cudgel. I suppose you wouldn't care to take a look at the business, sir?
It's hardly necessary, Sergeant. The solution's in your own hands. Ask yourself what the stolen items all have in common and where the thieves could sell them, then you'll have them. A very good day to you. What's wrong?
I was just thinking about what Matthews told me. The depths that people can sink to.
Well, some people sink, others soar. Well, there's a balance to these things. Now, cheer up, Watson. Your information solves the case.
Are you certain about what happened?
As certain as if I'd stood in that study and watched the whole thing. Do you see some flaw in my reasoning?
Not at all. It just seems so, well, incredible.
Deep hatred. Great intelligence. Fatal combination.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to tell our client that I've solved the mystery. Ready.
Ready.
I think we should have the door closed. Watson, would you mind?
Oh, yes, of course.
Mr. Holmes, please don't keep me in suspense. What have you discovered?
Very well. First of all, let's remind ourselves of exactly what you saw when you opened the door on that fatal night. Your cousin lay here, his head against the edge of the hearth, his shoulder and chest covered with blood, and your father here, the gun still clutched in his hand.
His right hand.
Quite so, his right hand. To anyone not understanding the significance of that vital fact, what had happened was obvious. William had shot Frederick and then himself.